of God. This is Reverend Sheila Crawford of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and welcome to the news portion of our program. The top story today is the launching of Israel's military operation, Solid Rock, against Hamas. After Hamas directed a steady stream of 100 rockets Sunday from Gaza. Unfortunately, their operation Solid Rock was pretty heavy because it was only crawling, in my mind. That is until today, after this morning's barrage of 130 more rockets fired into Israel. Now the operation is called Operation Protective Edge, and the IDF has called up 1,500 reservists, although they will need many more for a possible ground incursion into Gaza. Right now, they continue with airstrikes from the air and the sea, in which some infrastructure and buildings have been destroyed, including the homes of four of the Hamas senior members, who were not there, because Israel gave them advanced warning. Why a warning, I ask? Does Israel get warnings? Hamas has reported some casualties and injuries, but does Hamas stop their rockets? No, and instead are threatening to further expand the range of their missiles, possibly into more populated areas. And on my way here, I heard that they have been doing that. Although Israel says they plan on some targeted assassinations, I am troubled over the fact that they have openly announced to taking it slow to destroy Hamas infrastructure, only to be escalated stage by stage as needed. And I quote here, "This progression will be adjusted to the enemy's response and how quickly quiet is restored to the south." I'm sorry, but since when do you give your enemy your plans? Well, we see Hamas' response to this news has been increased missiles. And I am glad Israel has stepped up its defense, but I still see much caution in its reactions. You know, history shows us that as soon as Israel's enemy, in this case Hamas, needs more supplies or feels threatened and tired, they just request a ceasefire. So Israel stops and gives the enemy time to regroup to later begin again. I have seen the same scenario over and over for decades. And Israel tells Hamas it'll be escalated stage by stage? Why not take them all out, reoccupy, and be done with it, as many of their Knesset members are calling for? This tit-for-tat duel is ridiculous. For now, just hours ago, Hamas has fired missiles into the highly populated Tel Aviv. Thankfully, they were intercepted by the Iron Dome. It's an interesting fact that Tel Aviv has been recently declared the gay capital of the world, and our own U.S. Embassy in Tel Aviv has now added the gay flag directly underneath our American flag, hanging proudly displayed high on the pole for all to see, denoting Americans' approval of this perversion. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked for long. As I continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, I have been disappointed with Netanyahu's slow and passive reaction to these serious situations. And then where is Israel's allies? Jordan, the United States, Egypt? Well, they're too busy watching Iraq. And maybe this Gaza thing is a deterrent to keep Israel busy on its own home front, particularly after openly declaring last week it would step in and help Jordan if ISIS tries to cross over its border. And a real hoot is the Europeans are still trying to plan a meeting to restart peace negotiations. Anyhow, so much to wonder about. But in my opinion, even Netanyahu probably takes his orders from the global elite, as most do. These rich men of the earth, referred to in Revelation 6, have a game plan, and the country's leaders can either adjust or they can die. But as I must often remind you, again, we all know who really is in charge, and in the fullness of time, it will all be fulfilled according to God's plan. With that said, still, one does wonder if now could be the time for the enemies defined in Psalm 83 to be run out and Israel's borders expanded? Only God knows. So keep praying and watch prophecy unfold as we proclaim the gospel like never before. Here at home, our government's sanctioned invasion of illegal immigrants continues as more children keep pouring in over our borders. Over 300,000 since April. Many of them have contagious diseases like drug-resistant TB. They cough, they spit up blood, they have chest pains. Many have scabies and lice so bad they are seen crawling down children's faces, as well as many cases of strep throat and mental disorders. I feel very bad for these children, but even worse for the healthy ones who will probably now get sick themselves due to lack of quarantine facilities. This is a major crisis costing us billions of dollars while raising our national debt. But I don't have to tell you, this is Obama's agenda to bankrupt America. Did you know we are paying doctors and nurses and other workers who had to sign a legal hush agreement, $5,000 each per week to take care of these children? There are approximately 350 of these workers at the Lackland Air Force Base alone. Oh, and then there's the security company that receives $50,000 per week, whose operatives are called the Brown Shirts, and they are carrying AR-15 rifles to watch that no correspondence from workers to reporters occurs. It is a secret operation, and no outsiders are allowed in. Some workers who just couldn't take it anymore have quit, and now they're talking, but only anonymously, in fear of reprisals. Washington has begun to bus and fly some of them to other cities, often meeting with protesters. But I must say, I wouldn't want to travel on one of those planes after that. Those lice have been there. The even sadder part is many of these kids want to go back to their parents instead of to distant cousins or, in some cases, people they don't even know. And never forget that terrorists use the borders as well. And now with the Border Patrol being so overrun with children and their needs, our enemies are using the opportunities now given to them to increase its sleeper cells here in America. And again, my friends, do not be deceived. Obama does know all about it. Remember, out of chaos comes order, and nothing happens that isn't planned that way. Know your enemy, and it's not flesh and blood. As always, I welcome your thoughts. Email me at Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. And let me know if you'd like to be added to our send list for occasional updates. Friday night, July 18th, is video night. Try to join us at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, Route 306 in Chesterland, at 7 p.m. Who is the woman who rides the beast? We'll be talking about it. I'm also speaking at a teaching seminar on July 19th, Saturday morning at 10 a.m. at the Baum and Gilead Church in Cleveland, 10820 Frank Avenue. Finally, it really is just you that keeps this program on the air, and we are running short. So please pray and ask the Lord what you can do by sending your donation to help this end of days unique ministry. I know He'll bless you for doing so. Now, don't move that mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, and Shalom Havarim to all of you who are listening locally, 1220 AM radio, as well as on the net, WHKRadio.com. This is Kent Littlejohn, your co-host tonight, with our very sincere Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, who really loves to share her knowledge about the end of days A reminder, you can listen to this program later this week as well as about 5 years of the archived programs and all titled for you to choose from, a real wealth of information at shofarministries.net. And as always, Sheila, will you lead us in a prayer?
I sure will. Shalom, and to you, thank you, Kent. Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord, for we do bless your holy name. It is the name above all names. Abba, we thank you and give you the utmost praise, especially for sending your only begotten Son, Yeshua, who saved us from our penalty for sin. We continue to lift up to you those particular prayer requests recently given to me, especially that you will aggressively pull the heartstrings of our loved ones unto salvation. We beseech you, Father, in the name of Jesus, to heal your precious saints of their sickness and diseases. We come against all cancers and immune disorders that are plaguing those who are called by your name and might be listening right now. And we truly express our gratitude for the answered prayers recently affirmed. May those who truly love you find favor in your eyes with power from your word to stand firm against the evil one. We claim healings for drug and alcohol addictions afflicting our loved ones. Lord, increase the wooing of your Holy Spirit on the many backsliders, and also speak to the hearts of those who let the cares of this life take precedence over personal time spent with you. We grieve over the numerous Christians that are suffering, and Lord, I just pray that you will keep their sufferings light and free them from their oppressors. And let us all pray for the many who have lost their homes and possessions because of catastrophes, flooding, and whatnot. And may they call on you for salvation or a much closer walk in these last days. And now be with us as we study your word and bless with abundance those who set aside this time to grow in you, anointing them bountifully in your Holy Spirit. And, of course, we pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, Toda Rabah, which means thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. Want to let you know that the phone lines are open for your questions on eschatology. 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-WORD. And tonight, we are in the book of Revelation.
That sure is a definite favorite of mine.
I know. It's a lot of people's, especially in the end days, and certainly mine. And we have already studied chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Actually, we began that the first month of this year. And they are all archived on our webpage. But tonight now, we're going to begin sort of the chapters 6 through 19, which really focus on the tribulation, which the church really isn't going to be here for. However, I don't want to just ignore it completely. So instead of reading it verse by verse, which we really don't have time to do, I'm going to go through each chapter and just give a quick summary of each chapter. And then when people go back and read it, they'll have a little more of a heads up of what some of the things mean. Does that kind of make sense to you?
Sure. Yeah, but maybe we could even remind our listeners of how the first five chapters unfolded a little bit.
Oh, sure. I can do that. Okay. Let's start off chapter one then. In chapter one, there's a vision of the glorified Jesus Christ who gives a special blessing reward to anyone who studies this book. And I just think that is awesome.
Well,
that of all the books in the Bible, he picks the book of Revelation to give a special blessing for.
Have you ever figured out like what that blessing really is?
Well, of course, not entirely, but an educated guess would be the fact that many tell me, and I can attest to it as well, that you receive an insatiable hunger for more of his word. And it just automatically follows.
Well, as you always say, that's how we get closer to Jesus. And I'm reminded in Revelation 19:10, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And by the way, he is the only way. And it's the only way to get closer to him is through the word. Okay, that's what I found out. So I'm just passing along what my years of Christianity has taught me.
You know, that's how I originally got saved was the end times.
Oh, yeah. And so did I.
Because it was the unbalance of things and the way things just didn't seem right. Mm-hmm. And so I kept searching for those answers, and it seems as if God was showing me that his word was going to unravel and be fulfilled as he has specified it. So.
Amen. I agree. Okay, then we get into chapters 2 and 3, and of course that outlines the church age from Ephesus all the way to the lazy Christians called the Laodiceans.
That's right.
Or what they call the lukewarm church, especially when it comes to Jesus, because they're very busy with the cares of this life. And Luke 21:34 addresses that as well. Do we have that?
I think that's the verse that talks about drunkenness, carousing, and the cares of this world.
Right. It throws the cares of this life right in with carousing and drunkenness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty important not to let the cares of this life overcome you and take your personal time away from Christ.
Right. So if you're a Christian and you're obviously, you know, not doing the drinking and carousing,
yeah,
but can you get bothered with the busyness? I know I do at times.
There's no doubt.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. And if we're not aware of it, we get caught up in it. So I'm glad that we're pointing that out so that people will actually recognize the fact that you can let the cares of this life get in the way of your walk with the Lord.
Right. It does happen.
Even doing good things.
Sure.
It's not personal time in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then in chapter 4, of course, I call that the rapture chapter.
And by the way, are there any confirming, there are many confirming scriptures on our webpage that relate to this rapture.
Right, about 2 pages of them.
Mm-hmm.
Small writing, too. And by the way, Kent, what church is leaving?
That would be Church of Philadelphia.
Of course you knew that. Yes, and then the earth dwellers will be left behind. And earth dwellers is actually an idiom for those that are left behind because they preferred to make the earth their home, where we want to make heaven our home. We're aliens and sojourners. They're the earth dwellers. And when the earth dwellers who are left will actually at that point join the one world religion, headed by, in my estimation, the Pope, who not only says atheists now can go to heaven, but as well, I recently read that he would support civil unions for homosexuals.
Now, I understand the website, VaticanCatholic.com, is even commenting about how some of the Catholics are talking about some of this heretical information.
Oh, yeah, they're calling the Pope a heretic. Absolutely. And these are Catholic people.
That are starting to connect the dots and seeing that there's a disconnect here.
That's right.
Hmm.
Okay, also in chapter 4, John, again, who is a type of the true church, sees God's magnificent throne room. And, of course, this is where we will get our rewards, and then we will lay our crowns before him. And then we go to chapter 5. And this is where Jesus actually takes the scroll, which is the title deed to the earth. He's earned it. And it describes his judgments. And soon, Jesus will open this scroll, each seal one at a time, to begin the terrible but justified judgments on the earth.
And again, all of our programs are archived on shofarministries.net.
I'm glad you keep pointing that out so that people that tune in late can know that.
People may want to catch up, you know, with the previous chapters and so on.
That's right. And this show will actually probably, usually, is not even by the next day anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some good people working.
Yes, we do.
Volunteering, I should say. Anyway, now I must say that Revelation actually is in a chronological order. Except, on occasion, Jesus inserts sort of like an addendum to better clarify to John the present situation, and I'll give you a case in point. We're going to be in chapter 6, and it does begin the tribulation. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute, the horses and that. But we also see that in chapter 7, which comes after, of course, 7 comes after 6, but it adds an important fact that first 12,000 Jews from each of the 12 tribes will get saved immediately, and then they are sealed for protection against all the coming judgments, that nothing will be able to harm them. So don't you think that is an important fact to know prior to the seals being opened?
Absolutely.
That's right. He also shows John a few verses later, but still in chapter 7, that others will also be saved. So that's what we call an addendum or a by-the-way chapter. Some scholars call it a parenthetical chapter. So the book goes chronologically, but every once in a while there's some verses, sometimes the whole chapter, that just says, hey, slow down, I got to tell you about this.
Okay.
And that helps John because he's going to be seeing a lot of gruesome stuff.
It prepares him or gives him that breather that he's going to need. Because there's a lot to swallow with these chapters.
That's right.
So that's really a good thing to understand because of what John will soon envision is it's disconcerting, you know, at the least.
I like that word.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, definitely. So he's going to need this positive affirmation that, hey, eventually it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And again, we're going to see these parentheticals all the way through the whole book of Revelation. Okay, so then we get into chapter 7. And chapter 7 explains that this special set-apart group of 144,000, after the rapture of the bride, will get saved.
Well, how do you know that they are saved or the righteous, if you will?
Well, we know that because later in chapter 14, they are described as being redeemed and also labeled as the first fruits of God.
Wait a minute. I thought we were the first fruits.
I know. That kind of threw me too the first time I read the book. But we are the first fruits of the New Testament.
Okay.
Actually, Christ, if you want to get really technical, is the first fruits of the resurrection, so 1 Corinthians 15 says.
Sure.
So then how are the 144,000 called the first fruits too? Well, they are the first believers of that day.
Oh,
which
wait
is a
minute.
Different dispensation.
Yes, that different dispensation, of course. Okay.
And so they're a set of new believers. And, of course, they're after the 144,000, and the 144,000 are called the first fruits. And then there's another set of new believers called tribulation saints. We're always the bride.
Sure.
And those that get saved after the 144,000 will be called the tribulation saints.
Because it's an entire different dispensation.
That's right. They're a different group of people.
So after the rapture closes the current dispensation, right? And begins the next dispensation.
Which is called that in that day.
In that day, the seventh day.
Mm-hmm, the seventh day.
Okay.
That's right. Don't you think it's also interesting? I just found this recently. I mean, I knew it, but it just hit me. There's actually now 7 billion people on the earth.
Interesting.
I thought it was interesting because, okay, maybe God was going to have seven.
Well, he created the earth in 6 days, and he took a day off for the seventh day.
So why
day?
Not 7 billion people?
Right.
That complete number.
Eight always starts a new week.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
New beginning.
So.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, just thought I'd point that out. But anyway, the tribulation saints in verse 14 of chapter 7, they even have their own special song. Yes, they do.
So we actually have a different one?
Yes. And that's in Revelation 5:9, which, by the way, in our song, it says that we're going to rule and reign, where the tribulation song in chapter 14, verse 3 says that they will serve him. So we're going to rule and reign. They're going to serve him as they did not do before the rapture, as we did. In other words, now they're getting their second chance to serve.
Mm-hmm.
But since we've already served, we're going to rule and reign.
So that's kind of a great analogy, really.
Yeah. So anyway, those of you that are listening to this program, and you know that we don't have time to read each chapter, I do pray that you will, this week, use it for your homework and do the Book of Revelation. It is really not difficult, and I'm trying to point out to you some of the the good things to look for and trying to show you that it really isn't that difficult. I think knowing about the by the way chapters or the parenthetical chapters really helps, and to understanding, you know, what in that day is and who these different players are,
mm-hmm.
which is what we're doing tonight.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, I don't know, I think that's a pretty good analogy.
I do too.
Okay, so now the tribulation begins on the earth. Okay, the 144,000 have been sealed. Okay, and now the tribulation begins. And we've got the four horses, and each horse represents another seal opened from heaven by Jesus Christ. Okay?
Right.
Okay, first of all, we have the false Messiah on a white horse bringing much more deception and signing a peace agreement.
Is this the one in Daniel 9:27?
It is. But this peace is only going to last a short time. No one knows for sure how long, but soon the second seal will be opened, which brings the red horse of war. Okay, so the first seal is the peace agreement. The second seal, war breaks out. So how long can that be? No one knows for sure. Maybe a month. Okay. And then in verse 4, it says that this red horse takes peace from the earth. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then we have the third black horse, which represents famine and very expensive food.
So it looks like it's going to hurt the poor more than the rich, maybe.
Yes, at first. Okay. It does say that keep the oil and the wine safe. And I believe this is more for the rich. Okay. They will still have their oil and their wine. And actually, that the oil and wine is listed among the commercial wealth of Babylon at the time of her destruction.
And that's in Revelation 18.
Yeah, that's at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think the poor probably will be hurt more first.
Yeah.
So, nobody's going to like it, though. So then we have the fourth seal. The fourth seal is the pale horse, which represents death by sword and hunger and beasts of the field. Now, the Greek word for beast is zoon, number 2226. And it means something living, like a live bug, pestilence, microscopic germs.
Infected mosquitoes, perhaps.
Right. Uh-huh. Venom from animals, you know, snakes and things.
Mm-hmm.
Even tigers and that sort. Anyhow, it says that one-fourth of the population will die by the time the fourth seal is done.
Oh, my.
Yes. So, can you figure that out? One-fourth of 7 billion is how many? Now, if it was 8 billion, it would be pretty easy.
A little less than 2 billion, I think, right?
Yeah, but... Okay, anyway, and then we have another way for death to occur, of course, is persecution and martyrdom. And we see the martyrs of the fifth seal, and it says it's for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And John probably looked upward and saw them under the altar.
And with more to come,
yes,
more martyrs to come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. The sixth seal brings cosmic disturbances, earthquakes, stars falling.
Blood moons.
Oh, yes.
Dark sun.
That's right.
Is this by chance the Acts 2:20, Joel 2:31 blood moons that Mark Biltz talked about recently?
Well, actually, it says in Joel and Acts that the blood moon will occur before the tribulation began. This is actually during the tribulation.
Okay. All right.
However, there's going to be a lot more. We've seen one. We know there's another one coming in the fall at Tabernacles, and we know there's two more next year. So I could see this whole scenario falling in line with what it says here in
It might very well play out that way, huh?
Yeah,
Absolutely.
Another reason why, you know, I get a little more
excited.
Yeah, excited, nervous,
right.
Everything.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of things happening right
all
now.
These emotions
are
going on.
A lot of things
are
converging all at once here.
Yes. So now those still on the earth are really getting annoyed. I mean, think of all the stuff now that's happening just in the seals. So they're not liking it. Okay? And it even goes on to say that the rich men, the leaders, also called kings, but the word is for leaders, and the mighty men are trying to hide due to all this earth shaking and mountains falling into the sea and islands being moved. And they even say, oh, the wrath of God has come.
Do you think that maybe some got saved in that verse, you know, where it's talking about?
For them to say, ew, the wrath of God has come, you'd think they would get saved.
That's what I was thinking.
But it doesn't say so.
Okay.
It doesn't say so.
Hmm.
And what's peculiar is by the end of the next set of judgments that we'll see, they definitely, God says, will not repent.
Do you mean like the trumpet judgments?
Yes. They will not repent after seeing all this.
Yeah.
So what that tells me is that these tribulation saints are probably going to get saved pretty quickly.
You know, I think there's a verse in Revelation 6, verse 15, talks about the kings of the earth hiding themselves in caves and mountains and so forth.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying.
So, you know, I remember seeing, I think it was Jesse Ventura had a real interesting show. He takes you into the mountains and he shows you how, like, the Denver airport, for example.
Mm.
There's actually
that's a scary place anymore.
There's actually a city underneath there.
Oh, absolutely.
So, and then some of these silos where they had at one point during the Cold War era, they've now allowed those silos to become underground shelter for people that can afford it, obviously.
Yeah,
and
I'm sure there's food down there too.
So it just fulfills that verse, right? You know, in that scenario.
It's almost like the rich men of the earth know something's going to happen or will make it even happen.
Uh-huh.
These are evil men. And again, we're not fighting flesh and blood. I have to keep pointing that out to people. So they want to get rid of the population. Maybe they'll have something to do with some of this stuff that goes on during these seals to help it along.
These seals of Revelation seem to match the signs in 24, Matthew.
It does.
As well.
It does. And why wouldn't it? Jesus is describing, you know, the tribulation in Matthew 24, from beginning all the way to the end.
Right.
So, of course, it would match the seals. It would.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it does. Again, this is all just hints for our listeners to be able to go this week and read some of this stuff, and I hope they're taking notes. And if not, you can go to our webpage and re-listen to it, stop it, slow it down, chew on it, and get to know your book of Revelation, because you get that special blessing. And as Kent already said, Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Why in the world don't people want to know about it? And so many don't.
Right.
But again, it's a sign of the times. We're going to take a quick break here before we continue.
All right.
And we're going to play a great song, aren't we, Kent?
I believe we are. It's Don't You Want to Go by
the
Crab Family.
Oh, I love this song.
That's two B's, by the way.
That's right. All right, let's play it.
All right.
Amen. How many is thankful for the grace of God? How many has ever had to use God's grace? So when I falter in
Welcome back to the Shofar Ministry Hour. And that song, by the way, was His Grace by the Crab Family. That's two B's. And
yeah, I thought it was the other song, but that was pretty.
Yeah, I liked it. Hey, do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like for her to speak at your church or group? You may email her at sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office at 440-834-9006, and please leave a detailed message. And also, while we're on the air, if you have a question, feel free to email us at shofarlive@yahoo.com.
Okay. Your donations are very vital to keeping this program on the air and are still tax deductible. So if you are being blessed by this program and learning from our teachings, then please consider being a contributor of any gift or perhaps a monthly sponsor. Or if you'd like to advertise your establishment, let me know. I can do that as well.
And please send your love offering to Shofar Ministries at Box 513, Burton 44021. That's Burton, Ohio 44021. And on our webpage, there's a Partner With Us button on the left-hand side, and all donations automatically puts you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So please include your email or house address. And remember, all newsletters and previous radio shows are archived at shofarministries.net. And you may reorder teachings as well. And the lines are open for your comments or questions related to tonight's topic, 888-677-WORD. That's 9673. 888-677-WORD or 9673.
Also, mark your calendars for the first Friday of every month. Shofar Assembly gathers at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, which is Route 306 in Chesterland, at 7 p.m. Also, the third Friday of every month is video night, with always a very interesting video. So try to come on out and see us.
Yes, thank you. We were just talking about the Revelation seals that seem to line up with Matthew 24.
Yes, and they do. What else do we want to say about that? Anything?
Well, I think we were...
Well, I know. It's interesting that, this is the point I wanted to make, that the tribulation is described in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never mentioned in John's Gospel. Have you ever thought about that?
Well, I have a little bit, because John is a representation of the church.
He is.
Since we aren't going to be here...
He doesn't
What's
talk
the point
about it.
Talk about
I know.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like a confirmation by deletion.
Right. By design, really.
Yeah, design.
Right.
Too.
We're not going to be here. No point in raising the point.
That's right. Which is why we're not reading each chapter verse by verse here on the air, because of time.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely we're going to be talking about it. And he did say that you get a special blessing if you read about it. So
right.
That's what we're doing.
Okie dokie.
Okay, we already covered the parenthetical chapter, chapter 7, where the 144,000 are sealed. So now let's get into chapter 8. All right?
Sounds good.
Okay, so after a short silence, the opening of the final seal number 7.
It actually begins the trumpet's judgments.
Oh, yes, it does. And now the judgments, of course, are more severe: loud thundering and lightnings, hail, and the worst earthquakes ever. Fire even falls to the earth, burns up all the grass.
No more mowing.
That's right. And a third of the trees, and a third of the seas turn to blood, killing a third of the sea creatures and destroying a third of all ships. Then fell a great star, probably a meteorite, called Wormwood, which means bitter, and a third more of the population died from drinking the contaminated water. And before we continue, we do have a caller on the line, and his name is Jack. So let's talk to Jack. Jack, where are you from?
Cleveland.
Cleveland, okay.
I've talked to you before.
Okay. What is your question, Jack?
I wondered with what's going on in the Middle East with Israel, the Hamas, and Palestinians, would this lead to World War III, the Battle of Armageddon?
Well, I actually did talk about that in the very beginning of the program in the news portion, but I think that with Israel, it could very well possibly be the beginning of Psalm 83. The one over in Iraq could also be a catalyst for World War III, but definitely we're getting into some heavy war. I think so.
And what can you tell me about the little horn talked about in Daniel? Is that the Antichrist, the little horn?
I believe it is. Mm-hmm. I do.
And I think he's causing all the problems we see in the Middle East. The Antichrist is causing all these problems along with the devil.
Well, the devil is definitely. The Antichrist has not been revealed yet, so we really don't know who it is. And I do not believe that we are in the tribulation yet. I don't think you do either, do you, Jack?
I think we're getting closer
yes.
to it, I think.
Yes, we are nearing it. We're not there yet. But we are seeing all the signs that they're going to be actually experiencing during the tribulation. We're seeing the foreshadowings
uh-huh.
of those right now. And it's sort of like a woman before she goes into that labor, which, by the way, the Bible talks about the tribulation as being labor pains. So sometimes a woman has that false labor beforehand. The other name for that is Braxton Hicks contractions. And I believe that's where we're at right now. We're seeing all these foreshadows, all these things that are going to be going on during the tribulation. We're seeing it on a very small scale right now. So things are brewing up. I can't tell you exactly when, you know, the rapture is going to occur, anything like that, but I'm sure certainly getting excited about it.
And, you know, when you point out the whole Braxton, I can remember my wife when she delivered our children.
Oh, okay.
It was actually more frequent. The closer the birth came, there was more pain, there was more frequency, there was, as the baby approached the birth canal,
sure.
there was, like, more intensity.
That's right.
And more frequent.
That's
and
the
so,
picture we're getting.
Pop, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So
thank you, Jack, for calling. I really appreciate it.
Well, I know the Bible talks about Russia and then Red China and the 1 million-man army at the Battle of Armageddon, I guess.
The 2 million-man army, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I wonder sometimes why God cast Lucifer onto the earth, why he just didn't throw him into the bottomless pit and then create a new archangel, then there'd be no death or sickness like
well,
we have today.
Yes, Jack, I understand what you're saying. It's part of the judgment, though, and Satan is thrown to earth because he knows his time is short, and he actually takes over the Antichrist.
And I think God knew when he cast Lucifer that he would cause even Adam to sin, because God knows everything before it happens.
Well, now you're getting into another topic, Jack.
Okay.
God bless you.
God bless you and John.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Bye. Actually, his name is Kent now. But that's fine. All right. Thank you, Jack, for calling in. All right. I'm going to actually make a specific comment about verse 12 in chapter 8. Okay? And I think I'd like you to read that, Kent.
Sure. And then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars. And so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night.
Okay, that's the point I'm trying to make here. I'm going to point out something. A third of the day did not shine. Now please read Matthew 24:22.
And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened.
Correct. Now, so many people take that out of context and say, oh, that must mean the tribulation isn't going to last 7 years. It's going to be shortened. That is not true. What the verse is saying is that the daylight hours are shortened. Otherwise, the sun, who is getting very hot, would scorch all the people. So he makes it so that the sun doesn't shine
okay.
that much. And we have another confirmation, actually, in the Old Testament in Amos 8, verse 9, if you could read that.
And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon.
There you go.
And I will darken the earth in broad daylight.
Right. So I think you get the point of what I'm saying. It will be 7 years because he says it'll be 7 years, but it'll be more dark than light.
I've been up to Alaska. And the sun comes up at 10 and goes down at 2. No different.
That's
same
true.
Idea.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. So he's not saying he's reducing the hours from 24 hours down to 12.
I know.
He's saying that, or reducing the time period to 3.5 years. He's simply saying that the sunlight's going to shine less, right?
And you can't deny it when you look at Amos 8, 9. But
sure.
A lot of times so-called teachers will only read the New Testament and they don't see that. There's a
connection. So,
okay, so anyway, we must move on. As we see now the three woes to the earth as we close chapter 8.
And these things are getting really bad.
They are indeed. Now we're in chapter 9. Okay, now this is really a heavy chapter.
Is this where we're getting close to the second half?
We're right about there. Anyway, we're going to see the fifth trumpet sound, and we see an angel that looks like a star falling from heaven who has been given the key to the bottomless pit where the fallen angels who sinned in Genesis 6 have been kept. And also, it's also called Tartarus, by the way. And Jude says they are chained there until the judgment of the great day. And as well, 2 Peter also says the same thing, that they are reserved till the time of judgment. Now, I've got to point this out again, because what happens is that we sometimes think that they're thrown into Tartarus until they are judged. But when you look carefully, you will see that it's till judgment day, then they're going to be let out, as chapter 9 says, and they're going to come back on the earth. This is going to be some horrendous stuff here.
I can't even imagine how awful this would be at that time.
That's right. That's right. And, by the way, not just fallen angels that are going to be left out of this pit, but demons that look very much like just these huge, large locusts. But these locusts are not ordinary. They've got faces of men. They got hair like women with lion's teeth and tails like scorpions.
So these aren't the little bug things, right? These are,
no.
Okay.
No. That sting men for 5 months. Who wish they could die, but could not. And by the way, I'm just curious if you know this one, Ken. What other judgment lasted for 9 months?
Noah's flood waters, for example.
That's right. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights, but the waters prevailed on the earth for 5 months. And that, of course, is in Genesis 7:24.
And so remember the seals, 144,000? They were spared, were they not spared from these judgments?
I do believe it's either, I'm sorry, what did you just tell me?
I'm trying to remember, the 144,000, these are spared, right, from the
yes.
future judgments.
Yes, they're totally.
During the time of tribulation.
They're totally spared. They do not receive any kind of judgment.
Mm-hmm. And so do you know what the seal actually was?
I think I do, but you know what? We're going to wait till next week to talk about it. That'll have people maybe try to figure it out for themselves and come up with some great ideas.
Well, okay.
And we're gonna,
maybe a little homework assignment.
That's
if you
right.
can read ahead, Ezekiel 9:4.
Yes, all of 9.
Yeah, all of 9?
All of 9,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
It's really a mini revelation.
A mini revelation.
That's right.
All right.
Unfortunately, I didn't realize that we were almost out of time because I couldn't see Steve giving me the... the hand sign.
All right. Well, we're just having too much fun, folks. We hope you tune in next week.
Yeah.
And would you like Sheila to speak at your church or group? If you have a question, shoot her an email at Sheila@shofarministries.net or just call the office, 440-834-9006. And please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour.
Yes. And, oh, precious one, if you are listening out there and you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, remember, Christ died on the cross for you. He went through hell for you. And he even stands today at the door of your heart and knock, saying, "Behold, I stand at your door of your heart. Will you hear my voice? If you do, open that door, and I will come into you, and I will sup with you." And that's in Revelation 3:20. But like a kinsman redeemer, he won't crash the door down. It's your move. You and I are also beneficiaries of a love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea almost 2,000 years ago. Now we're going to have to give the Aaronic blessing because it's time to leave.
All right.
Yivarekka Adonai v'yishmerekka, Ya'er Adonai panav leka v'yigunekka, Yisa Adonai panav eleka v'yasam laha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Until then, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper.
And that's not a maybe, that's a fact.
Psalm 122, verse 6.
So again, tune in next week for the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll continue on into Revelation, leaving off where we left off today. And again, if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time. Don't wait another moment. Get on your knees right now and just do it.
Shalom,
everyone.
See
you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila at ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.